they'll let you get away with things for a while. And he talks about how cows go to the slaughterhouse. They're on this nice conveyor belt. They go through the chute. Feels just like their mother's womb. And they're just in this relaxed state. This feels wonderful until a sharp instrument hits them right between their eyes and kills them. The whole point is this luring and this, I'll go out as other times before. We can't confuse God's patience with his approval.
Today's Regaining Lost Ground is from a message entitled Lessons from Samson, Surviving the Anointing. As true Christians, we all have an anointing from God. Like Samson, we're called to be set apart and to be fruitful. Pastor Shane explains that surviving that anointing means staying focused when tempted, guarding our hearts, and having holiness as our goal. From Westside Christian Fellowship in Leona Valley, California, here's Pastor Shane Eidelman.
Softened and put again there on the potter's wheel. What I wanted to be, this hard and hardness and this rock, humility allows me to go back on the potter's wheel and say, okay, son, here's what I want you to be. If you just, would you just submit to the work in the hands of the potter? That's what humility does. The Bible actually says that he resists the proud. God resists the proud. Can you imagine if Samson would have humbled himself? God, I'm getting trapped here. But he resists the proud. He gives grace to the humble. So another point. Surviving the anointing means that holiness becomes your daily goal. How often do we talk about holiness here? Quite a bit. But I can't avoid it on this point of surviving the anointing. Leonard Ravenhill's son, wrote a good book on this. I've passed it out before on surviving the anointing. Because there's a daily attack. There's a weekly attack that's coming against what God is doing in your life. That's what he's after. If he can't get your salvation, he's going to go for your testimony. He's going to go for your influence. So part of surviving that daily attack is holiness. Here's the thing we learned from Samson. I told the men yesterday, they can tweet this, and so can you after the service. Sin fascinates and then it assassinates. That's how it works. It fascinates you and then it assassinates you. But holiness keeps up that guard. You cannot defeat your demons if you're still enjoying their company. See, to survive that anointing, the holiness is the consecration we talked about earlier. My daily walk, your daily walk, there has to be some degree of holiness in God. And I'm fighting this battle, but I'm staying close to the shepherd. And then verse 20. But let me ask this question. Maybe this would be a good time to ponder. Is there any area in your life right now where compromise has entered in? Don't leave here this morning without laying it at the foot of the cross. If there's anything at all where you can see, it's interesting, Delilah isn't described. 36:24-36. Flowing locks of whatever, eyes piercing, and Delilah can be whatever it is that takes you down. Whatever it is that is at you and zapping your strength and pulling at you, that can become Delilah to the believer. Pulling them away from what God has called them to do. Verse 20, and she said, Samson, the Philistines are upon you. So he woke from his sleep and said, I will go out as before at other times and shake myself free. No, you won't. It fascinates and then it assassinates. And there's I wish I would have wrote this down. I've recommended it before. Tried and Tempted, I believe, by Russell Moore. He's with the Southern Baptist denomination. And he makes a great point that the demonic realm, demons, aren't in a hurry. They'll let you get away with things for a while. And he talks about how cows go to the slaughterhouse. They're on this nice conveyor belt. They go through the chute. Feels just like their mother's womb. And they're just in this relaxed state. This feels wonderful until a sharp instrument hits them right between their eyes and kills them. The whole point is this luring and this, I'll go out as other times before. We can't confuse God's patience with his approval. One of the saddest scriptures, I think, in all of the Old Testament for an individual is this. The Bible says, but he did not know that the Lord had departed from him. And I wonder how many churches, they don't even know that the Spirit of the Lord has departed from them. People will go because it's got great kids programs, but is the Spirit of God there? Because I don't consider foosball in a skate park something that's always great. But the worship, it has smoke. And all these lights. And they grab this guy from Hollywood, Shane, he's in a band. But is the Spirit of God there? Is the Spirit of the living God in that place? Because that's just entertainment of men. Where the Spirit of God, do they even know when the Spirit of God has departed? Why should church be a cemetery? Answer me that. A.W. Tozer said, in the early church, if the Holy Spirit was removed from the early church, 90% of the work would have ceased. But if the Holy Spirit is removed from the church today, 90% of the work will continue. And that is so true. Because we think, well, if God's not in it, it'll fall apart. No, it won't. Just look at Hollywood. You can get a good motivational speaker. You can fill a stadium in Texas. You'll get that later. But you can do all that. You can have the top musicians. This one's in a band. This one's over here. Now that might be okay. And then people go, but we need people on our board that are smart-minded businessmen. No, are they filled with the Spirit of God? That's what we want. Are they filled with the Spirit of God? And this happens at least twice. I don't know. Once every 2 months. You should let such and such speak. Are they filled with the Spirit of God? Oh yeah, but they've got a great story. They're really gifted. Do they have God's Spirit, the anointing, the unction, the fire? Because that's how you penetrate the deepest levels of the heart. He knew not that the Spirit of the Lord had departed. That might be a good question for some of you to ask this morning. Holy Spirit, am I just going through the motions? Has that deep penetrating work lifted? Now, here's the key I need to clarify. In the Old Testament, the Spirit of God would come upon Samuel. The Spirit of God would come upon Saul. The Spirit of God would come upon David. The Spirit of God would come upon Elisha. The Spirit of God would come upon Samson. So they would, and the Bible actually says they're turned into other men. That's what happens. When the Holy Spirit of God fills you, you are turned into a different person. What you used to like, you don't like as much. What you used to prefer, you don't prefer as more. Now it's all about God, and your friends are going to mock you. And your family. But it's all about God, right? Because I've been turned into another man or woman. I'm filled with the Spirit of God. In the Old Testament, though, God could remove that spirit. Talk about dangerous. Sin would enter. Saul would rebel against God. God would say, I desire obedience, Saul. Obedience, for disobedience is as a sin of witchcraft. Rebellion is this, and the Holy Spirit of God will be removed. Gone. Can you imagine that? How would you like to be left to yourself? Just turn me over to me. Oh, we should go into prayer right now for that one because, oh God. But in the New Testament, you're given the Holy Spirit as a gift, but you can quench and grieve his work. Something I think of often, especially when we make a fire, is you have this roaring fire, right? You can feel the heat. Sometimes you're back, I don't know, 20, 30 feet in this room. You feel it. Brant, your house, right? Where you at? Yeah. Yours, you feel the whole house. And you feel the heat from this. But then as the hours go by, it's gone. Not necessarily. You can pick around. Oh, there's a little coal. Oh, yeah, there's a little coal right there. I don't feel anything. And that's where many Christians live. They've grieved and they quench the Holy Spirit of God. It's there. But they no longer feel the warmth. They no longer feel that fire. Let me talk to you for a minute who used to feel that fire. Do you remember how it was when you, everywhere you go, you had to witness? It's just like, what's coming out? It's not like you're just walking. I'm just so joyful today. And you're so joyful. And then the enemy begins to wear you down and goes after that anointing. And instead of, there's that little ember left. No warmth, no heat. You can't even see it, but it's there. What's it waiting for? It's waiting for fuel. Just try throwing a little bit of newspaper in there. That's all the Holy Spirit's looking for. He won't make us do anything. He waits. He waits, and we throw fuel on that fire, and then God lights us with the Spirit of God. Then the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza. They bound him with bronze fetters, and he became a grinder in the prison. I told you, fascinates then assassinates. I know some of you have had some serious health issues. I guarantee you've never had your eyes gouged out. Or would know even what that feels like. They would lay the person down, they would get an element that's like an ice cream scooper or a pluck, and they would just remove his eyes. What's the significance? Because now he's nothing. He can't see, he can't do anything. So his eyes have been removed, and he's got bronze fetters, which are like handcuffs. He's bound, and he becomes a grinder at the prison. So he's walking around like an oxen, and he's walking around this thing, and he's grinding whatever it is, the wheat, the barley, whatever that is. He becomes a grinder in the prison. You think you struggle with depression? Try that one out. This mighty man of God, called of God, anointed of God. God told the people, the children of Israel, I've heard your cries. I'm putting Samson, a deliverer, in the womb of this woman. She's going to take a Nazirite vow, and we're going to build him. We're going to strengthen him. The anointing of God that no one has ever felt. He slew Philistines with the jawbone of an axe. He was powerful. What happened? These are wake-up calls. Paul said the Old Testament was given to you as an example that you might not lust after evil things like they lusted. These should be examples to us. You might say, Shane, well, what is sin? Well, I came across John Wesley's journal and what his mom said. I like what she said, so I borrowed it. Whatever weakens your reasoning, whatever impairs the tenderness of your conscience, whatever obscures your sense of God or takes away your relish for spiritual things. In short, if anything increases the authority of the flesh over the spirit, that is sin to you. I hadn't thought about it that deeply until that last part. Whatever increases the authority of the flesh over the spirit is sin. Meaning whatever builds the flesh and quenches and grieves the Spirit of God, that is sin. That is missing the mark. And it will come out in our lives in a negative direction. And we see, this is ironic, the parallel here. The enemy targets your eyesight. Did you know that? The enemy targets, not physically, obviously. Sometimes, maybe, as we get older, we realize it's an issue. But he's that spiritual eyesight, because see, when you know where you're going, not too many people can knock you off track, can they? You know where you're going. This got me through the early church years. No matter how many negative emails, no matter how people said, you can't start a church on Saturday, you're too hard, you don't have any education. I don't care what you say, naysayers and taunters. I see what Christ has called me to. I've got vision, I've got spiritual sight, and come hell or high water, that's where I'm going. So the enemy's going to knock you off course. He's going to get rid of your eyes. God, I don't know. I'm groping around. What have you called me to do? I can't even lead my family. I don't know where my direction is, my career. I'm gone. I'll just sit at home and watch stuff that is perverted and fill the flesh up with more of the flesh. I don't know what you call me to do. So now I'm depressed. I'm lazy. I'm discontent. I don't know. He goes after that eyesight, that spiritual sight of what God's called you to do. Well, I don't know what he's called to do. Well, get here in the morning on your face on the altar. He'll show you. He'll show you. Many times we think we'll just drive and pop. There it is. No. It's time spending time with God. And like Samson, though you're grinding in the mill in the prison, and as that hair begins to grow back, as the anointing begins to grow back, so to survive the anointing, you must readjust your focus. You must know when spiritual eyesight is declining. You ever go to the optometrist? Those of you who wear glasses, what do? Adjustments. That's why we have so much time of prayer and worship here. We try to, at least anyway. I know people think, oh, Westside Christian Fellowship, is that the church that does a lot of worship? Yeah, that's the church that does a lot of worship. Maybe that's why you're here this morning. Your eyesight needs readjusting and focus. You need to get that calling back. You need to get that burning desire back. You need to get that unction of the Holy Spirit. Well, Shane, but I'm old. Yeah, but old intercessors are powerful. Powerful. You realize this. I realize something. I don't know who I was reading. E.M. Bounds. I've got a whole stack of books because I'm preparing for Wednesday's message. Oh, it's a good intro or good promotion. Wednesday, I'm talking about waiting time is not wasted time. This Wednesday at 6, waiting time is not wasted time. We're considering not even videoing it, not even doing a live stream. Then people show up. They think they can just sit at home with the kids running around screaming and watch on TV. That's just as good, not even close. So all the live streamers out there, come in person. It's much, much better that you can feel the presence and power of God. What was my point? Where did I leave off on that? Huh? E.M. Bounds. Thank you. This has been profound for me this week. I'll just share. Maybe it won't be for you. But he started to talk about how our prayers are deathless. It means they don't die. When that heart stops beating that felt it, the prayer still lives on for your children. When that mind that conceived it is gone, that prayer still moves the hand of God. Our prayers are deathless. They don't die with us. We don't pray to a false God that when prayers fall on deaf ears. This is a God who hears your prayers. He hears your cries. He hears your groaning. So get on your face before God and cry out. Well, that's not very manly. I don't care anymore. Deuteronomy 28:29. You know Deuteronomy, right? Blessings and cursings. This is what comes on a people that are disobedient. You will grope at noon, and as the blind man gropes in darkness, and you will not prosper in your ways, but you shall only be oppressed and robbed continually with none to save you. None to save you. This groping. See, when you lose, isn't that important? Spiritual eyesight? What about if God told you, here's what I've called you to do, here's what I want you to do? Would that give you a little motivation? But see, you can have that. You can have that. Because his will is clear. Men, especially, I talked about yesterday, God's called you to lead your family and to be a spiritual leader and to get into the word and teach them and to saturate your home, to have it be a holy sanctuary, not a breeding ground for Satan. So act on that God's will. Get that line sight with him. You're supposed to be in the word, broken before him. Get that eyesight back on. See, the reason you're distracted, you're groping, is because you're not looking for God. Oh, I knew this was going to be a hard one this morning. I almost chose the Proverbs message and took the easy way out. And all of this, as we know, it leads to the prison of bondage. He was a grinder in the prison, barely hanging on, going through the motions. Have you ever been there? I know there's some of you here this morning, barely holding on, going through the motions. And often the man's spiritual eyesight deeply affects the family. Did you know that some of the reasons I talked to the men about this, that God might not be answering your prayers is because how you treat your spouse. Well, but what about her? Well, see, you've already lost the battle. That's not the question. Husbands, 1 Peter 3:7, be considerate to your wives. Treat them with respect as the weaker partner. People say, oh, see, weaker. No, that just means valuable. Valuable. Like this, many commentators give this image of an expensive vase. You know, I'm just this Home Depot planner, you know, that God's going to use. But this, treat them as the weaker vessel. They're heirs with you so that nothing will hinder your prayers. Could it be that many prayers are hindered because we've got this John Wayne mentality in our home? What does this verse mean? Well, it means to admire, to appreciate the gift that God has given you, to listen to them, to elevate and hold them in high regard. Kids are watching, and our prayers are being hindered. This is a very important issue. Now, can I get to my favorite verse? Verse 22. However, everybody's going, oh, Shane, that was so... Oh, the last 40 minutes are so heavy. However, I like when the Bible says however, because some other scriptures say, but God. But they were destitute for destruction. But God. But the people are going to be slaughtered. But God. But here comes this massive army against us. What are we going to do? But God. Same thing with this word. However, Samson. However, what happens? The hair of his head began to grow back. He renewed his strength. Survive the anointing by waiting on God. Now, many of you, I've done this strategically, but I didn't talk much about prayer yet, but that is crucial to surviving the anointing, and that's how you wait on God. If it would have been completely up to me and I knew God was leading me, I would just not even preach this message. Just say, we need to camp out in those last five songs. In case you didn't catch it, that's worship. This is how I fight my battles. That's how you fight your battles. I'll tell you, as God is my witness, the only way I can really fight my battles is through prayer and worship and humility and obedience to the Word of God. That's it. I don't know how else anyone does it. However, his strength began to grow back. And we know the verse, those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. Are you dying spiritually this morning? Wait on God. What does that mean? Well, to be in a hurry is not waiting on God. To push things through is not waiting on God. And I truly believe that the state we live in, that everybody is so busy, so in a hurry, is the enemy is loving it. And maybe it's me, but I hear it all the time. I invited a few dozen men outside of here to the men's event. And how many of you were here knew that they probably should have been here and should have heard the message? What's the number one reason? Oh, I wish I could, but you fill in the blank. Oh man, I really wish I could, but no, it's just prioritizing. Now, of course, not everybody can do things, but we have to just wait on God and not be in a hurry. Remove things that are distracting you. Remove things that are distracting your family and wait on God. And then verse 23, now the lords of the Philistines gathered together to offer a great sacrifice to Dagon, their God. And they rejoiced. They said, our God has delivered into our hands Samson, our enemy. Can you picture the scene? Samson, this mighty man of God, he was known as a man of God. They said, go get him. Let's make fun of him because our God, Dagon, has prevailed. And God says, no. Your God, Dagon, has not prevailed. This is what I have allowed.
You've been listening to Regaining Lost Ground, an encouragement of truth from God's Word from Pastor Shane Eidelman of Westside Christian Fellowship. You can find out more about the ministry and also stream the Sunday services live at westsidechristianfellowship.org. Look for Pastor Shane's messages on YouTube and follow the ministry on Facebook and Twitter. Also, check out the Eidelman Unplugged weekly podcasts where you can hear more from Pastor Shane. Thank you for listening to Regaining Lost Ground. And remember, times change. Truth does not. Touch my lips.